past Halloween, we should probably get spooky. There's a skeleton here.
Yeah, hi. Happy Halloween.
Hello.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Christy.
And she was having a sip of her coffee. this is That's Weird. It's a podcast about weird shit.
That's right.
And this is our very special Halloween spooktacular episode.
Ooh.
What was that? Last year was like legendary because we did urban legends.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But this year it's all about spectacular Halloween history.
Sure.
Sure. This episode is brought to you by Apocalyptic Company, our new favorite candle company.
It's true. We were just talking about it, and then we were like, oh, shit, we should have saved this for the podcast.
Don't you hate when you have conversations with your quote-unquote pod partner and you didn't press record? Yeah, these candles are amazing. So it's this, like, Apocalyptic Company is this amazing local business here in Seattle. It's two ladies making candles. They have incredible names and colors and scents, just everything. Our favorite is a candle called Dead Inside.
Oh yeah,
it's all black. Like,
it's beautiful.
It is,
actually. It is, like, cute as fuck. And also, I feel like soy candles are, I was telling Ashley, soy candles are the shit. They last forever. They're great. They're way better than using petroleum products as well. Just in general, I feel like sometimes, because I'm a vegetarian, I feel like I have to be like, and also I care about this thing that doesn't use animal fats or destroy the environment.
I like that about you. But these candles are friggin' great. Dead Inside, wonderful. There's also one called Crippling Anxiety and another called Call Your Coven.
Oh, yes.
They're very, very appropriate for spooky season.
Agreed.
You can check them out at apocalypticcompany.com or on Instagram at apocalypticco. We recently did a little contest with them, so you can easily find them on our Instagram as well, at That's Weird Cast.
That's right.
Yes. So we did a little Twitter poll recently asking what you wanted to hear about this Halloween, and people voted for weird history behind the holiday.
Ooh.
And they also voted for creepy stories. So we're going to maybe do a little bit of both.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, we will.
Oh, I love Halloween. It's the most wonderful time of year.
Halloween is great. I feel like Halloween is your Christmas.
It really is. It truly 100% is. So Halloween is an annual holiday that's celebrated on October 31st. It originated from the ancient Celtic festival. I've seen this pronounced so many different ways. Samhain?
Okay, I Googled it because we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
And I just read it out loud all the time and was like, you know, Samhain.
That's how they pronounced it on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I just started watching that on Netflix and they pronounced it Samhain.
Well, what I Googled said it was Samhain.
Same.
Yeah. It's because it's like some kind of like Scottish Gaelic or something, and they put all these letters in that don't mean what they're supposed to mean.
Correct. So, I mean, yeah, take that as you will. We're going to say Samhain since I think that's the proper way. Please correct us if you want.
Sure. How about you say Samhain and I'm going to say Samhain?
Perfect. We'll cover all our bases.
That way, you know, you can say homicide and I say homicide. We've got all our pronunciations, or pronunciations, if you will.
Perfect. We cover it all here. That's
basically
weird.
I just constantly mispronounce things.
So do I. We're terrible. We're like the people that really shouldn't have a podcast.
No. Please take us off the air.
Off the air. Pull the plug. Someone, please.
Somebody.
Okay, so yeah, it originated from the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain or Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts and dead spirits. Halloween is considered to be the time when the veil between the worlds is at its thinnest and the dead can walk among the living, which is very spoopy. The average American spends $185 on Halloween.
Wow.
That was at least the number for this year, 2018. Last year, it was $169 for, like, decorations, costumes, candy, all that stuff.
Actually, you know what? When you figure in, like, candy and stuff, that's not too bad.
I spent at least $300 this year.
Because you throw a big party.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Candy and punch, and I had to buy fucking khakis so I could be Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. I've never owned khakis in my life. I
had to buy fucking khakis.
And you know what? Khakis are not cheap.
No.
So fun fact, growing up in Nevada, I don't know if maybe you have some like fun Indiana anecdotes around Halloween.
But oh, totally.
In Nevada, we would celebrate Nevada Day on November 1st. And we actually get that day off.
What?
Or at least we did from school. I don't remember if I ever got it off from work. Probably not. But so for the longest time, I thought it was connected to Halloween. Like I thought.
Yeah.
It was just like you get that day off after so that you can celebrate Halloween properly or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like New Year's.
Exactly.
Dude, they do it right.
I know.
Yeah.
That may be the one thing Nevada gets right. But so it really wasn't until I was like older and moved away to Seattle that I was like, wait, we don't get November 1st off?
I have to work today? What the fuck is happening?
But last night was Halloween. Which November 1st is also All Saints Day or whatever, but.
Oh, that's right.
That's neither here nor there.
Nobody cares about it. What is All Saints Day? What does it do?
I think it's some kind of Christian holiday.
Oh.
And technically.
Out of my depth there for yeah. that one.
Halloween is like the eve of it, which is why it's Hallow's Eve or,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't care about that.
We don't care about that. We're here for the cookies and the wine that's orange for some reason.
Yes. Christy, I have explained to you why the wine is orange.
I forgot.
Orange wine is delicious. It is when you leave the skin on the grapes on longer. And usually it's like a white grape. So it's like a Pinot Gris. But they left the skin on longer. So it's like tart and tasty and like strong flavors. I love orange wine.
Wow. Okay.
If you can't tell.
I'm sold, actually, to be honest.
It has nothing to do with oranges. It doesn't fucking taste like oranges. Okay. Where was I?
We're back.
Talking about how dumb I was for believing that Nevada Day and Halloween were connected.
That's so funny.
So aside from Samhain, Halloween also takes some cues from Lemuria or Lemuralia, which is a day when the ancient Romans attempted to placate their ancestors' ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Lemures, with a ceremony that involved taking off their shoes, cleaning their hands, and throwing beans all over the house.
Oh.
They would throw beans at ghosts. Which is amazing.
Oh my god.
As the head of the family wandered around getting beans all over the house, the rest of the family would follow them, banging pots and pans together to expel all of their ancestors' ghosts. Nowadays ghost hunters do that kind of stuff, but with like holy water and crosses and a TV camera.
Yeah. I think that concept is really funny because some other cultures like do like ancestor worship or like they value their ancestors and want to keep them around and shit.
Yeah.
And Rome's like, get the fuck out, grandpa. You died. I'm rid of you. Which I fully support.
Yeah. Also just love the throwing of beans.
Me too.
I want to try that more often just with anything that upsets me that I want like gone. Gonna, like the next time a spider's in the house, I'm just going to like throw a bean at it.
Yeah. I think that might work actually, to be honest.
I'm going to try it. We still have a shit ton of spiders on our porch, so.
Throw some beans.
Beans. It's going to be a bean porch.
Yeah.
Back in the day, folks in Ireland called their carved fiery turnips jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh.
Thanks to an ominous legend, which I also really love the idea of like a jack-o'-lantern, but with a turnip instead of a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Those are so creepy looking. The like old school ones.
Oh, my God. I know. It's way better.
Oh, way spookier.
Yeah. Much spookier.
Okay. So here is the legend behind jack-o'-lantern. One night, a local drunkard and total jerk named Jack trapped the Prince of Darkness in a tree by hacking a sign of the cross into the bark. In exchange for letting Satan climb down from the tree, Jack had him vow to never claim his soul. It's a bold move. Jack proceeded to act like a jerk continually his whole life. So when he died, he wasn't allowed in heaven. But when he tried to return to his old pal, the devil, Satan upheld his end of the deal. And instead of hurling a bean at him, he hurled a piece of coal from hell at the dead man, basically telling him to like shoo and get the fuck out. So left without anywhere to go, Jack placed the blazing coal in a turnip to use as a lantern. And the dead man then set out, doomed to wander until he could find an eternal resting place. But I assume he never did.
Yeah. Also, what does that say about how bad people think that real life is? That they're like, shit, well, I can't get into heaven. I don't fucking want to wander Earth for much longer. So please let me into hell. Torture me forever. I don't care. Just get me off this fucking planet. Like, that's the moral of the story, to be honest.
Yeah, that's rough. I think that really is like, you really want to get into heaven because all the other options are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Sure. Sure. But yeah, that's where the jack-o'-lanterns come from. So yeah, that's the history and some folklore a little bit behind Halloween. Do you have any like folklore history or anything for Halloween?
Basically. So we talked about doing scary stories. So I thought it would be fun to look up the history behind, do you remember that book, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Of course.
Yeah, everybody loves that. But the guy who wrote it was like a folklorist. So most of the stories that are scary are just like folklore. So like, I don't know, it's kind of a cop out because a lot of the things I found was like, here's this story. And it was folklore.
Yeah, there wasn't...
That's all of them. Like, here's this story. People used to tell it before it was in this book. Like, that's all of them. So there's one that's like... Well, this one I thought was kind of funny. There's one called The Big Toe, where a starving boy finds a toe and eats it because he's hungry.
What?
Fucking what? Exactly. I didn't read this book when I was a kid, I'll confess, because I was too scared.
The pictures alone, I couldn't do it.
Right. Okay, so in the book, there's a story where there's a boy who's starving, and he finds a toe, so he eats it, and then the next night, the ghost who's the owner of the toe comes looking for him. And I guess it's like a southeastern United States thing, but it's like a, like the Brothers Grimm wrote about it even. But the thing that I liked a lot was... Mark Twain told this story a lot when he was doing public speaking, and there's a different version, and it involves instead a man who steals his dead wife's golden prosthetic arm from her grave.
What?
And that's the old-timey version that dates back to like Germany and England.
Okay.
And so Mark Twain would tell that story, and then he would end it. It says he would conclude his tale by jumping and screaming at any young woman foolish enough to sit in the front row. I don't know what you would jump and scream like, ha-ha, so don't fucking lose your arm and replace it with a golden one or your husband will steal it from you. Which, like, I guess maybe the idea is that she got buried with her golden arm and then the husband stole it back and then she haunted him and was like, give me back my fake arm, you fuck. But, like, if I had a golden arm, like, first of all, how rich is my husband?
Right.
And second of all, like, I'm fucking dead. Like, please, take my arm, sell it, use it to go on, like, use that money to go on dates to find someone to love you and, like, not hate your life forever. I'm not gonna haunt you. Maybe that lady was shitty.
Wow, yeah, that's very generous of you, Christy.
You're welcome. If I ever get a golden arm, I'll will it to someone and not be buried with it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the moral of the story.
I don't know about that. Anyway, there's also like a hundreds of years old one from the UK where a girl gets dared to stand on top of a grave and plunge a knife into the grave, but she sticks the knife into her skirt as well, so she gets trapped kind of on the grave and then freaks herself out to the point where she dies.
What the fuck?
She dies of fright.
Oh my God.
And that's... got variations. It's big in America, it's big in the UK, replacing the knife with a stick, a croquet steak, or a fork. Anything, really. It's just somebody gets freaked out because they got stuck on a grave because they stuck there. They got stuck to it on accident when they did the thing.
That's something I would do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I feel like there's a lot of stories where, like, the actual scary part is that someone died of fright.
Yeah.
But, like, that shouldn't be scary at all then. Like, just don't be freaked out about stuff. Calm yourself the fuck down. Take a deep breath. Or, like, she was going to die anyway because what the fuck is wrong with her that she died just by being scared? Usually, like, you can only struggle for so long before you realize, oh, shit, this, it's my skirt. It's stuck. Like, imagine, Ashley, if it's, imagine, somebody tells you, like, a house is haunted. And then, you know how sometimes you do the thing where you walk past a doorway and, like, get a belt loop stuck on the handle?
Yeah.
Imagine if you just walked past a doorway in your normal life, your belt loop got stuck on a handle and you freaked out a little bit, but instead of realizing soon after that, oh, my belt loop, it's stuck on the handle, and like extricating yourself and like being a normal person and living the rest of your life, you just die of fright.
Girl, pull up the knife or whatever.
You have a heart problem. Probably. There's like a valve missing or something. Like
you've got a blockage.
You've got a, which to be fair, like, is a terrifying story because you never know when you have something wrong with your heart until you die.
You know what's really scary, Christy? I think that heart disease is the leading cause of deaths in the United States. So maybe that's the spookiest story we could tell this Halloween.
Scariest story of all.
Go to the doctor. Eat your vegetables.
Stop eating that candy. Stop it. Stop it now.
See how many cookies. How many cookies have you had today? Also, I had McDonald's for breakfast. I can't fucking talk.
I had 3 cookies.
Oh my god.
3 of them. Okay. Oh, and this one was especially disappointing. The one where the babysitter is terrorized by a prank caller and the call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, such a classic.
What a classic. Also, this says that Snopes is a folklore website.
What?
According to the folklore website, Snopes.
Who knew?
Who knew? It appeared in the early 1960s. And that's it.
That's when the babysitter story started. That's when the babysitter
story started circulating around, which makes sense.
But I wonder if there's truth to that. I mean, I guess all folklore or like all legends come from some example or story.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. I had some more. Okay, so this. Yeah, this one was even more disappointing, actually, so never mind. Because, like, the title of this article is 14 Terrifying Facts About Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So you think, cool, this is going to be great, right? One of the facts is that they replaced the old illustrations with new ones when they republished it.
That's not terrifying.
That's not terrifying. What the fuck are you doing with this title?
The original Lies. Illustrations were more terrifying than that fact.
Clickbait. Anyway, so those are like, it's kind of disappointing history where it's just like, yes, this folklore is folklore. People used to tell it first. But I did have one thing, like, one thing I was thinking about also is like, I don't know, like when you were a kid, when I was a kid, there were things that like, and I think we've talked about it before, so I don't want to go too much into it, but like there are things that you do like on Halloween. There's a certain cemetery and like on Halloween, if you go and like walk up the steps and like, you'll see hell or something like that.
Yeah.
Or there's a specific overpass where like you, if you drive under it and then look back, you can see a guy who hung himself. But also the story is if you do that on Halloween at midnight, then you'll like go under and then like get hanged.
Fuck. I guess.
Like people get taken out of their car and like you'll hang under the underpass like the scary guy if you do it at that certain time. And like, it's one of those things where like these stories aren't like super, like I definitely have seen that underpass and been there and driven under it, but only during the day. So you're not supposed to do it at night. It's dangerous.
That's dangerous, girl.
It's dangerous.
So that's like an Indiana, like,
that's like a legend. Super local thing. And it's, I don't know, it's fun to talk about because it's like, that's what my memory of the story is. Mm-hmm. So it's like an active urban legend. Like right now, I'm probably fucking up the story and changing it a little bit. And that's like how urban legends work.
Exactly. So like I love, telephone.
Yeah, I love telling it just like exactly how I remember it and being like, yep, this is fact. This is what'll happen if you go underneath it. But I remember people being like, yeah, we're going to go to like these like scary steps and do that for Halloween, or like dare you to do that instead of like go to the rich area of town and get king size chocolate bars, which is what I always did on Halloween.
Wow. Yeah. That's everyone's favorite house, you know, gives those out.
Ashley, there was an entire neighborhood in my hometown, and guess what it was called? Richland Manor.
Richland Manor?
Richland Manor. And it was just all of these like mid-sized McMansions with tennis courts. And
holy shit.
If you want good shit on Halloween, that's the neighborhood you go trick-or-treating in. And I always felt comfortable going trick-or-treating in that neighborhood because, like, I lived in that area. So, like, one of my friends always, like, lived there.
Sounds very fancy.
I mean, yeah. It's just so funny. Like, it's the most, like, silly country thing I can think of. It's like the Beverly Hillbillies founded a neighborhood.
Oh, no.
That they thought they wanted to sound rich. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what's the richest name you can think of?
It's the richest name you can think of. I want to live on a manor. I want some land. I want to be rich. Richland Manor. It's real. It really exists. And that's where you get the best candy, kids in Terre Haute.
You're like, just so I hope, you know, it's still there and it's still happening.
Yeah, I hope they still are giving out candy. That's...
the steps that you were talking about,
uh-huh,
that reminded me of Washington's, like, greatest urban legend, I guess, is the 13 steps to hell.
That's what I was just about to talk about.
Oh, sweet. Okay, then I will not.
Because, yeah, it was fun. I saw that. That's why I started talking about my own stuff, because I was like, we had one of those too.
Ooh.
But yeah, they, and I don't know, I don't think this is Halloween specific, but in Maltby Cemetery, 20 miles east of Seattle, There's supposed to be a stairway to hell. There used to be a set of 13 steps in the cemetery leading to like a family. What do they call it when it's like, it's not really a tomb.
Mausoleum?
Yeah, like a family, like tomb/mausoleum kind of thing. Anyone who walked down the stairs and reached the 13th step would be met with a vision of hell.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. So they would drive them insane. Witnesses that saw people get to the final step saw them just like freak out or fall to their knees and be like terrified. Kids that walked down those steps never spoke again. But at some point they bulldozed over those steps, so it's not there anymore.
What?
Mm-hmm. But kids still try and like look for them sometimes in that cemetery.
I'm sure they do, especially, I wouldn't be surprised if kids go looking for them on Halloween.
Exactly. So yeah, ours in Indiana is, I think actually, like, we did an episode where I talked about this.
Was it the 100 steps? Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, and you see your, like, future, how you're gonna die or something.
That's so scary.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I went to a cemetery recently and I was, like, honestly more scared than I thought I would be.
Yeah?
I felt very uncomfortable, like, walking around people's graves.
It's weird.
I don't know, yeah.
I hate that. I hate the thought of, like, I don't know. Like, it's, I think a lot of people get buried in that way because they're like, oh, I don't want anything, like, gross to happen to my body. Or, like, I want my, you feel so attached to, like, the body that you're living in for your whole life, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that the people come to associate like their mortal remains as a representation of themselves, and they don't want to, like, I don't know, death is scary. You don't want to leave the world. So, like, you want your body to be taken care of. But also, like, I feel that way too a little bit. Like, I hate the idea of just, like, leaving just my body all by itself to, like, molder in a concrete box.
Ugh.
Right?
Because you just decompose and then...
Yeah, but not in any useful way.
No.
Like, you don't actually decompose the way that I think people think of it.
Because you're embalmed.
Because you're embalmed. That shit's fucks up all the processes there. And then, so it takes a lot longer. It just seems like so much grosser than just like, I don't know.
I wish there was another option.
There are.
Well, but I mean, like, I feel like the most popular, it's like, oh, you can either be cremated or you can be buried.
True.
And now we do have more.
Yeah.
Like, more options are coming about. But I feel like most people are always like, well, that's all I can do is one of those two things.
Well, the best option is just to die alone in your apartment and wait until, make sure that no one can notice that you've been gone for years. And then you'll be completely just decomposed by the time they see you.
Ew. Or mummified.
Ooh.
Have you read about that? Like the lady, I don't know if that's actually a real story, if it's like an urban legend of some kind, but like, the lady who died alone in her apartment, and she was like a hoarder, so she was all holed up in there,
mm-hmm.
and she had all of her bills on auto pay, so no one noticed that she was gone. And then years later, they like found her mummified
wow.
body inside her apartment.
That's my plan.
You're like, yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
sounds great.
Sounds great.
There have been some strange events that have happened on Halloween, which are kind of interesting. And most definitely weird. Like in 1913, there was a prank in Alabama that went terribly wrong. Some kids decided to load the town cannon with several pounds of gunpowder.
Oh my God.
And set it off at 1 o'clock in the morning. It worked, but the explosion was way, way bigger than they expected. It was absolutely deafening. It like the cannon launched off the ground. Like all the kids were knocked down. It shook the local hotel so hard that it woke up all the guests
oh
and then
God.
Broke all the windows on the lowest floor.
What? Wait, but people were okay besides the kids that clearly can't hear anymore.
Yeah. Those
well,
kids...
they're dead because it was like 1901 or something.
1913. Yeah. I don't think, it didn't have, like, information. I don't think anyone died, but I'm sure those kids had, like, burns or hard of hearing or, I mean, I don't know. You'd think.
I think probably, yeah.
The damage was about $1,000, but that's in 1913 money. So it's a lot more now,
so many monies.
All the monies.
Such money.
Then sometime in the early hours of Halloween 1981... Manhattan couple Ronald Sisman and Elizabeth Platzman were murdered in their Chelsea apartment. The couple was severely beaten and then shot in the head execution style while their apartment was completely ransacked.
What?
New York police initially believed drug money to be the motive, but then the case took a very bizarre turn when a prison informant claimed that one of his fellow inmates had predicted the crime weeks before it actually happened, and that inmate was Son of Sam killer David Berkowitz.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So he did indeed know a lot about the crime before it happened. So either he was somehow involved.
What?
Or he predicted it. And this is coming from a dude who also said that a dog told him to kill people. So, I mean.
So maybe he was telling the truth and he can see the future.
Oh, shit.
Or he was in prison and he knew somebody that was planning on robbing people.
Maybe. Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? But those murders are still technically unsolved. And then there was the night before Halloween in 1938 when Orson Welles caused a nationwide panic with his broadcast of War of the Worlds.
Yes!
I can't believe, like, that out on a radio when all people did was listen to the radio, especially on, like, a Sunday evening.
Right.
And it was so, I guess, unusual and so well done. That people actually thought Earth was being invaded and attacked by Martians from outer space.
Amazing.
Like, they freaked the fuck out.
Amazing. People were so much easier to trick back then.
So small, so wholesome.
So small, so wholesome.
They didn't have a Snopes to go
to. They didn't have Twitter at all. Yeah, man. I always think about, like, back then there were less people on Earth, too.
True.
There were just fewer of us, so less people to fact check, I guess. Also, I think the trick part of trick-or-treat on Halloween is underrated. Like, we don't talk about it much.
There's not enough tricks
because we're all too busy on treats.
We're too busy eating our fucking cookies to worry about tricking people.
So true. Bring back the tricks, but not on me. And only nice ones, not the ones where you get murdered.
Please.
That's not really a trick. That's more like a brutal robbery.
And against the law.
And against the law.
We should have pulled a trick and said, like, we're going to do a Halloween episode, and then we just didn't.
It's too late. We've recorded it already. We'll have to release it on Nevada Day.
There you go. How dare you? But yes. Fucking Nevada. Oh, on this day, God. My holiest of days. And you say Nevada, Christy. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, that's some fun stories and history and folklore around the best holiday, Halloween.
Amen.
Or for anyone else who's watching The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, praise Satan.
Oh my God, I have to start watching that. That's what I'm going to do when I go home. Yes. Can't wait.
It's wonderful. Everyone should watch that on Netflix and then talk about it in our Facebook group. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Have a killer Halloween. And thanks for listening to That's Weird.
Yeah.
A goodbye.
Bye.